This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 30, Gaming Health.
Hello, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day to you and everyone around you. This is Michael Martin. I'm coming to you sitting right across the table from my co-host, Mr. Michael Rowe, for another edition of GamesAtWork.biz.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon yourself. Great to finally see you again after oh so many moons.
It's been several moons.
It has been mooned.
But not a blue moon.
No, no. But was there a blue moon in between?
No, not for me.
I'm trying to remember. There was a blue moon.
I had a cult.
This year. There were two blue moons this year.
Were there?
Yes. There usually are.
Oh, well, there could be.
Because you know what a blue moon is, right?
That only happens once.
A blue moon is when you have a, is it a full moon twice in the same month? Same calendar month.
I think that's it. My astronomy fails me here. So
it's not a nasty Hefeweizen.
No, that's not. Those are by definition delicious.
Nasty.
So we have a show.
We have a show, and we were desperately trying to get Phaedra here with us.
Yeah.
So all three of us could be sitting around the same microphone
in person,
in the same room,
Awesome.
Which would have been amazingly, awesomely cool.
But maybe we'll have to wait to do that another time.
Maybe so.
Let's do some show. So we have two big topics to talk about today in terms of gaming and game and games at work. The two topics are gamifying your health,
woo-hoo,
which we'll hit in a moment. And
it's
I think
a sick topic.
What we should talk about first is gamifying some learning with Code School.
Yes, if you remember, we did a show, gosh, it must have been like middle of the summer, so 6 months ago-ish.
Long time.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
And there was a Kickstarter that we had discovered on a new class that was being set. No, it was even before that. It was before that because it was a Git class.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it was way early on would teach people how to use the Git source control management system in a browser from a company or a
July 8th, actually, if we
so
really
want to
be precise.
Yeah, I do want to be precise. That's why you were typing, and hopefully it wasn't picked up too much on the microphone, but
we want to be accurate.
Yes, we do. And,
episode 12.
Always have it in the show notes on episode 12, which was, we're going code school.
Old school.
Old school for code school or something like that.
Was our
really, really bad joke. Anyway, so code school, they did this class. They had this technology where they would allow people to take classes and they simulated or emulated the technology you were learning in the browser.
Mm-hmm.
So you did not actually have to install various development tools. Now you could, and
right,
they talk you through those steps too. And then they decided to do a Kickstarter because of the importance of mobile development, and you know, iOS still being, you know, the single most popular individual phone, right, platform.
Yes.
But we know there are a lot more people using Android nowadays based off of market share. But anyway, iOS program is pretty tough to get started if you don't have a Mac. Because you have to have a Mac.
Yeah, well, that would make sense, right?
In order to build the application, you need access to a Mac.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? Android, of course, is available on all the platforms to do the build.
How about Windows Phone?
I think you need a Windows machine.
Yeah. Hmm.
Now, the real question, we're going to rat hole for 30 seconds because this is something I've been thinking about. I have been thinking about this.
Symbian?
Right?
Do you need a Symbian?
So you need the compiler supported by the operating system.
Of course you do.
And for iOS, the only compiler is Xcode, which is Apple's, which only runs on the Mac. Okay?
Unless you have a Mac emulation capability. So
that's a violation of terms of service of the operating system. It can only be installed on Apple operating
hardware.
Yeah.
So
what a lot of businesses do is, you know, they want to do some iOS programming, but they don't have a huge Mac development team, so
they'll outsource some of it.
They'll outsource it, or they'll use a
device, a build cloud, right? So they'll put a bunch of Mac Minis in a closet somewhere, mm-hmm. and they'll use command line build tools with Xcode build, right? But the developers will still be on a Windows machine. Well, how do you know you're any good at it? Well, you need to train. And how do you train? If you don't have access to the device. Well, Code School solved that problem. And I know this sounds like a commercial, but just because I think this is cool, not because I think it's a commercial. So what they've done is they've created a set of courses for lots of different technology. The iOS one came out as a Kickstarter mm-hmm. that I supported, and somewhere in there, and I haven't gotten to the end yet, my name should be in the credits one of the supporters.
Nice.
Got a nice little Try iOS t-shirt, and this was a nice little surprise when I got the bundle, a iron-on patch. Remember iron-on patches?
I do.
An iron-on patch that was their little logo for Try iOS. So that was, I thought that was cool when I got it. Anyway.
That's nice.
And you actually get taken through the basic steps in this Try iOS, God, that's a mouthful, class of how to write a iPhone app. And you can do all of the coding within the browser in their environment. So you don't even have to have access to a Mac or to an iOS device to learn.
To learn, right. But you're not actually coding. It's not compiling. It's a simulated environment? Or have they cracked some sort of loophole?
I believe it's a simulated environment, but they could easily do, just like I suggest, have a Mac Mini that they kick off a compile to and get the response back. Because I actually have, I've done the first two levels.
Ooh.
The app anatomy and the subviews
yes.
section.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've mistyped things.
No.
And the compile fails. And they actually give you error messages. Even though, you know, what I was doing is funny because what I actually did is I fired up Xcode on my one machine. And I was doing it there. And then I fired up the web-based class on another machine and doing it within a tool. So I'd write it and do it natively and go, oh, yeah, it works. And then I'd go over there and mistype something and it would fail. And then... So it was kind of cool.
Would it give you
cool.
an accurate error message on the fail?
It gave you a...
Or a generic.
Good enough error message. It wasn't the exact compiler message. Hmm. But then again, I didn't make those mistakes on the compiler because the Xcode development... I'm going to have to do that. The Xcode development environment does a lot of prompting of stuff. So
right.
as you're starting to type in a method...
Autocompletes
or it does a lot of autocompletes and
right.
it... puts in, the placeholders for all the variables and methods. Anyway.
Demo and all that, yeah.
All good stuff. And what you do is each lesson will have some kind of challenge in it.
Yes.
And in those challenges, you score points based off of your ability to complete them. And I think it's also timed to some degree.
Cool.
Because when you get to the end, you'll go, you can get up to 2,500 points for this challenge. And it's either going to compile and work, which should be 2,500, or it's not.
Which would be zero.
But given that you can screw up and have compiler errors and have to do it three or four times before you figure that out and actually have it compile correctly, that should be the scoring. You also have badges. We got lots of badges. And I like their art style. The one thing that I found that was kind of annoying is Mr. Higgy.
Okay.
So
Explain.
Mr. Higgy is a cartoon guy.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember because I don't have him up in front of me right now, but I think he's a book.
Oh. He looks like a phone.
Is he a phone? Okay, I don't have him in front of me right now. Where do you see him?
Well, if I'm just looking at the TryOS logo, it looks like there's a...
Oh, that is Mr. Higgy. So yes, he's a phone. Sorry. It's amazing. He's an iPhone. So Mr. Higgy will go tell you things at certain points. You know, kind of the in the old dummy books, it would have been the gotchas or the bombs.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the instructor... basically repeats it.
Well, some people learn better from a cartoon.
But they'll be going along being an instructor, and then Mr. Higgy go, well, don't worry, don't forget to think about blue elephants. And then the instructor go, well, don't forget to think about blue elephants. Which is, I found that annoying. He could state the same thing differently, and it would reinforce it for me better than stating
it
twice.
So you like repetition.
Yes, it's repetition.
Using different words.
I don't like repetition, but if you're going to do repetition, don't make it repetitive.
Can you say that again?
No. Hmm. The other thing that I found interesting in their style, okay, was they will walk you through specific coding techniques
okay.
to understand
table structures
how to do it.
And stuff like that,
right?
Sure. Okay.
No.
Anything.
Just call it
stuff.
Coding techniques.
Yes.
And then at the end, they'll go, but that's really not the way you should be doing it. Let's refactor the code to the correct way.
So they teach you the wrong way and then teach you the right way.
They teach you the unbelievably basic way. And then they go, but if you're going to do it right, let me teach you how to refactor all your code to do it the right way. Again, the first way is kind of the utmost simplistic way of understanding the concept. So I understand why they might do that.
Yes.
However, the refactoring effort, which is some of the little mini lessons, is like, well, why would I want to refactor it? Why didn't I just do it that way the first time? And I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep each segment of the syllabus or each component within a level to something that's very simple to understand and containable in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you stack them all up together, and if you just did it that way, you would have actually written really bad code. So therefore, those are the concepts. Now you understand them. Let me tell you how to clean it up and do it right.
Well, you know, Greg Pollack is the professor for this course.
Yes.
And it turns out that, you know, he likes theater and podcasting and
yes.
scotch and a whole bunch of things. And my guess is he might like that feedback. Might be
I think he will. And as one of the
Kickstarter backers.
Backers, we should actually see if he's willing to be on the show sometime.
Yeah, you never know. Could be fun.
Because they do have a lot of different things. It'd be interesting to see what type of feedback they're getting on some of their other activities.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rails for Zombies.
Yes. There was an R course, which I got a thing today, and I was like, R? What's R? Try R. The test drive data visualization in the R language. Arg. No. R, not arg.
Hmm.
But anyway, you know, overall, production quality was awesome, right?
That's great.
The fact that it's consumable and gets you started is great. There's a lot of positive feedback that I've been seeing about it from people posting comments and tweets and other things. Really good backing of the whole thing. So I think I like it. It's not necessarily my style. And because I've been doing stuff in iOS for a couple of years, right, my natural tendency is to jump ahead. And I'm really trying to stop, go back to the beginning, and go through the entire course as if I don't know anything.
Sure.
Just to really experience and see the gaming aspect of it and the level mechanics
and the beginner's mind.
And the beginner's mind. So
yeah, yeah.
So I thought it was really cool. I'm enjoying it. And, you know, a very good example of using gaming type concepts in a business setting for an educational purpose.
Yes. But although it does feel like, you know, and I haven't been through it, but it seems like the gaming element of this mostly is around some points that are awarded for completion of specific tasks and then badges that are issued upon completion of modules or point levels. That's what it kind of sounds like to me from a gaming point of view, right?
Yeah, and like I said, I'm two levels in right now.
Okay,
so,
yeah, so there may be more that you will see.
I will see, which is why I'm trying to definitely keep that very open.
As you can unlock things and level up or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. The other nice thing about being one of the backers is I have access to all their courses for a month.
Oh, nice.
Now, of course, they happen to make that available right as the busiest time of the year. I mean, you know, apologize to our listeners last week. I mean, as we put up on our Facebook page, biz got in the way of games at work. So
there you go. That's true. So switching thoughts here for just a little bit. So
yes.
we said that we our second topic was going to be focusing on the gamification analytics, if you will, around exercise, eating, and a bunch of stuff. And Michael, you are about to explode with
yes,
a statement.
Trying to remember. So we have a couple of specific company technologies that we wanted to look at.
Yes.
And there was one that was part of the keynote at the Impact Conference back in April that I was at.
Oh.
And I need to find that one because I don't think it's any of these three.
It might be Fitbit.
No.
Wasn't Fitbit?
No. That's so
why don't you
I'll
type
look that
and
up
look.
While you start talking a little bit and set this up.
Yeah, I'll just get the setup. So personally, I've been using my Nano device to measure steps that I'm taking. You know, I just kind of clip it on my belt, and I've been using it to kind of track the steps that I'm taking. And I found that kind of interesting, and the data, you know, is nice. It's kind of unobtrusive, but I found myself wanting more. And with this turning to be the holiday season and lots of capabilities and new facilities arriving on the market, we wanted to talk about three particular capabilities that allow you to track what you're eating, how you're sleeping, what your activity level is, and then being able to use the exposed analytics to help drive behavior change or to create or to extend and reinforce motivation. So the three that I'm looking at here, because I'm getting ready to buy one, and I'm not sure which just yet, but it's going to happen right quick. The three that I'm looking at are the new Up from the Jawbone Company, makers of all kinds of good stuff, you know, like headsets, noise canceling headsets, or their boom boxes, which are coming in a small and a large fashion. Nike, who has the Fuel Band, we'll talk about that for a minute or two, and then the Lark Life. Which is something I actually hadn't heard anything about, but I came across one at the Apple Store of all places.
Sweet.
So each of these particular solutions are bands that you wear on your wrist. So a little different from the Nano, right, which is, again, a pedometer, counts your steps. You wear it on a belt or, you know, on your shirt or something like that, and it can tell as you're taking your steps. And each of these has that capability as well. What I like about the Up and the Lark Life is both of those provide a facility to measure sleep patterns in addition to your exercise and activity level and what you're eating and being able to keep track and record all those kinds of things. Again, in a nice interface that is an app that's on your phone that allows you to communicate back and forth. And to the extent that I've read about them so far, being able to share some of that on social sites or with friends and kind of, you know, get other people motivated to do some things too. So I like the sleep element because it's knowing that is kind of a neat thing. And the Up from its material talks about knowing your circadian rhythms well enough so that it will vibrate to wake you up at an appropriate time that is when you are most refreshed and you are have slept enough and it's close within the time that you want to wake up. So I thought that's really, really, really cool.
Cool. Yeah, and I'll try to find the other one because I do think you need to look at it.
A little later, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not popping up, right?
No, and I'm even going back through my old tweets. I'm really just trying to find my tweets from back then because I tweeted about it. I was like, oh, cool. And I actually looked at them and thought it might be one that I might be interested in buying myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is really around the same type of thing, capturing biometrical data.
Yep.
And using that to influence your health decisions, exercise tracking, sleep monitoring, heart rate, other types of just basic data that when you put together, come together as something actually fairly interesting. Matter of fact, there was a blog post that Irving Wolosky-Berger put out this week on big data and how a lot of this stuff of collecting data, self-analyzing data about yourself is coming together into both a big data problem for enterprises and business as well as a pattern problem, if you want to call it a problem or a challenge, for individuals. How do you consume that to make sure you're doing the right things to influence the data in such a way to get the outcomes you're trying to achieve?
Yes. Yeah. And that's I think, the important part because so much of this, you would say, is extremely intrusive, right? You know, when did you go to sleep? When did you wake up? You know.
Well, considering what a slacker you are, I mean, you're sleeping all the time anyway, right?
Of course I am.
Yes, yes. Sleep would be good.
That's what planes are for. You sleep on a plane.
That's right. So it's interesting because I've actually for about 2 years now been monitoring my sleep.
Yes. Really?
Oh, yeah. Huh. So
how's that working for you?
I can tell the days and the alignment to the data. So,
So have you made any changes in your life as a result of the data?
Yeah, I try to actually go to bed and get up the same time every day, including the weekends.
Interesting. Yeah, that's certainly been focused as a good thing to do.
Yeah,
so because you don't try to oversleep on the weekends.
No, because one, you can't make up sleep. Right?
That's a myth, huh?
Right. It's a myth. And I remember, you know, in high school and college, right? In college, you'd go party and then you'd sleep until like noon. Right? Slacker, noon.
I'm just remembering
when
my roommate and I used to have sleep contests.
Yeah. See who can stay in bed longest.
Yeah, so on the weekend there were times when
2 o'clock.
We would be pushing kind of late in the afternoon.
Wow.
or early afternoon, I guess, you know, because it was like, you know, whoever stayed in bed the longest was the sleep king.
Which is different than the mattress king.
Which is different than the mattress king, but you could be the sleep king if you stayed in the bed the longest.
Oh, thank God for catheters. No.
Well, that was one of the reasons why you might have to get up.
That's right. but you know, so understanding your sleep patterns and the implications that are driven by, and in the last 2 weeks, you know, I've been doing late night calls and early morning calls with projects that I'm doing, and it shoots your sleep pattern down.
Yeah.
And you can really see the impact on your energy, on your weight.
Melatonin impact.
Right. Well, I'm going to kill you.
No, so when I
and
look,
I was right with what I said.
I know. So, I saw that. You were right.
I was right. I'm right.
So when I look at
I am right, and he is right, and all is right as right can be.
So when I look at these various products,
yep.
The Nike one I like a lot. It's a nice unit.
I think they have some
really
great
good
metric, right? The whole Nike Fuel game.
Yes.
Right? It really is interesting because it's a very public way of talking about your points. Again, a scoring system. Matter of fact, so along that same line, over the summer I started trying to do Super Better.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked a lot about Jane and her stuff, and that's one of the apps that she's done. I really wish it would be an iPad app.
Yeah.
Right? But I find myself dipping in and out of it because it's an extra thing you have to do instead of just having the data collect.
Right.
And seeing the rewards. So you have to go and play the game manually instead of any of these three bands where you're just putting a band on and letting it collect the data. Right.
So I really like the Nike environment. I can see this. It's really good. The bracelet looks fit and finish wise, just awesome.
It's at the Apple Store too.
It's at the Apple Store too. It's a watch. It's all kinds of things that you might like.
It's a watch.
It's a watch. In addition,
what?
But the one thing that it is not is it does not monitor any of the sleep. Right. So I like what it does, and I like the way it connects, and I like the way it looks. But the sleep aspect of it is a missing piece for me.
Yeah.
So the Larklife one is a very interesting.
God, it looks very familiar.
Yeah.
Especially just the dots, right? The way that dot core is set.
Mm-hmm. So that one is neat too, because the Larklife comes in several different pieces. It has the core that fits into a bracelet that they call their day wristband. And you wear that around during the day. And at night, you take the core out and you put it into a softer, you know, Velcro-y kind of thing that goes around your wrists for your sleep monitoring, which sounds pretty cool.
Which is much better than going around your neck for your sleep monitoring.
Yeah, well, that could be that. So I think there's some really neat elements to this, too. I also like very much that the Larklife uses, I believe it's the Bluetooth, what is it, 4? To connect in with iPhone 4, 4S's, and later versions.
Yeah.
So it can continuously...
Smart 4.0 and regular 4.2 compatible.
Yeah, exactly. So it's using...
2.1, sorry.
The low power continuous communication with your phone to provide data directly. So to me, that's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And the app looks like a very easy to use app, and their video is really nice too. So there's some neat things about that one. The Up by Jawbone, originally they had some problems with this particular unit. The first version of it had a number of different issues. There were people who were not very happy with it. It was not as strong and flexible and durable as people wanted, because you put something around your wrist and you're, you know, in the rain or you're running or you're sweating or whatever. It's got to be good.
Yep.
So the Up, you know, has a number of things that are going well for it, including, in my mind, the benefit of the sleep and the waking discussion we just talked about.
Yep.
However, the Jawbone Up, requires you to synchronize your data, to take it off your wrist, to open a cap, and then connect it to your phone in a hardwired manner through the headphone jack. And then it will read the data off of the device onto your phone, which to me feels like, okay, that's like an extra step.
You know, that reminds me of Square.
Does it?
Yeah, the whole Square device, right?
Yes.
You know, we talked about them in other shows in the past, and I've been really excited about them. And a lot of local stores are starting to use those here now. Bean Traders, the guys over there, use Square. I've seen it at a couple other places too. However, that audio-based input.
Yes.
Right? So this is an analog audio signal. It's not a digital signal.
Hmm.
And that makes sense for, you know, wave patterns. But I've seen problems with the Square app for that same type of transfer.
Yeah.
And I hope, given the problems that Jawbone had originally, and now that they pulled it and they've re-released it, I'm hoping they've engineered around that to understand what this really means now. I also find that they're all about, you know, from a pricing perspective,
they're about the
roughly
same price.
Equivalent.
Yep.
I'm thinking the one that I was looking at back at Impact was maybe 50% more.
Oh, really?
But that was 6 months ago. It could just be a pricing time from back then.
Yeah. So where I'm heading on this is, you know, because I've looked at each of them and I've thought my way through it. So the Nike one, I love the design. I love that it's Bluetooth.
You need to buy two.
It's not doing the sleep.
You need to buy one, put one on each wrist, and have both data sources and compare them.
Yeah, well,
you should game the game of gaming health.
That would be fun now, wouldn't it?
It would be different.
But and I think where I'm kind of coming down to is that the Lark Life, while I'm love the capabilities that it provides, the idea that it has multiple different, you know, form factors, to me that and the way that the how thick and broad it is on the wrist makes me think, you know, that's probably not going to be it for me.
Yeah, the Lark does look big. It looks
too
like
big.
Twice the width of like one of those wrist strong bracelets.
Yeah.
And, for those who don't recognize the Stephen Colbert reference.
Yes. So and then the idea of the night wristband of having to take it apart and putting it back together, to me, is almost as bad as having to unplug something and plug it in the phone to synchronize data. So of the three devices, I think I'm going to go with the Up from Jawbone. And I will use our podcast here to report on some of my findings and
Sweet.
Let you know how it is. And now that I've made that decision, I need to go and buy it.
Press buy now. You know, if only there were like a mobile device capability that allowed you to press a button and buy stuff.
Or, you know what my friends like buy things that my friends like.
Yeah, you know, just like a one-clickish type stuff. Well, this has been a very different episode than we normally do. This is kind of almost a review show, even though it was more kind of thinking our thoughts out loud, going through some cool tech that we like
I need to figure out what thing I was going to buy to game, you know? So
you know, it'd be interesting to find out if any of our listeners are using any of these devices.
That would. And if they are, we'd love to know what you think.
Exactly. And you know, hit it to us on our Facebook page at Games at Work Biz on Facebook, or on our Twitter account at games@work_biz, or our Google Plus page, which is whatever Google Plus does, but look at games@work.biz and you'll find us. Or our website. You know, we have a website.
I've heard that.
We have a website, and on that website, we post all our podcasts. that you can pull down through RSS feed or through your favorite podcatcher, whether that's through the Blueberry Network, through Stitcher Radio, or through your own personalized RSS feed, or, you know, on iTunes. And if you do pull it down on iTunes, we'd really like to get your ratings. Rate us, comment, let us know. It helps us by helping other people find out about the podcast. So the more you engage with us, the more we can engage back with you. So we really appreciate it. And I guess, wow, we've done a show.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.